Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, that's right. It's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm excited, slightly aroused, to bring you a full set of Ramblers because James or Jim is back.
Hello!
Here he is. How are you feeling, pal?
I'm feeling delighted to be back in the warmth of the Ramble bosom.
Goody gumdrops. Well, let me introduce Pete.
Hello!
And Luke.
All right.
And we're all here now. And, James, lovely to have you back.
And it's lovely to be back.
Good. Well, I've got a question for you and the rest of you. In the wake of Arsene Wenger showing a bit of defiance and a bit of bravery, perhaps standing in front of the United fans, I bring the question to you: who do you think is the hardest manager in the Premiership? James, you can go first.
I imagine a lot of people are going to be thinking the same thing. Right, Allardyce, I'm sure he's going to be a top on a lot of people's lists, but I think I'm going to plumb for David Moyes.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one. We're going to have to come up with another one.
He's got those psycho eyes. You know, he wouldn't spare anything. He'd rip your cheeks off if he had to win.
He's like Joe Pesci. If you punch him, he'll come out of a knife.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd bite your legs, Moyes, if he had to.
After you were dead. Like, he'd keep beating you.
How scared was Lescott?
You'd just be like a pink mist by the end.
How scared was Lescott to put a transfer request in?
Yeah.
He's got the devil in his eyes, Moyes has.
But I'm sure he's a lovely fella, just for the record. Pete?
I go for Phil Brown.
Good one.
Simply because I wouldn't want to touch him because he... because I might get some of his sort of, like, his fake tan on me.
Yeah. Oh.
So the North East Sinatra.
The Phil best... the best offence is a good defence, I think, with Phil Brown.
Mm. So yeah, that's a really good one, actually. Yeah, a strong contender so far.
I reckon I could take Phil Brown.
That's not true. I have met Phil Brown. He's a lovely fella. But I reckon he's hard. Luke, who are you going for?
I think he's a twat. But I've not met him. I'm going to go for Owen Coyle.
Not bad.
Ooh, that's a
not
good bad shout at all. As well.
Don't let his dentures put you off. I reckon he takes them. I reckon he's got dentures and a nice new set of Simon Cowell-esque teeth because he's been in his fair share of bar brawls.
Mm. That's good.
And he always wears that roll neck, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
I don't know why that seems to say he'd be hard, but he just seems like he is.
Mm.
You know, he's scarred senseless down there, probably from previous run-ins with Moyes.
Yeah, possibly. And would they know each other, Coyle and Moyes? Probably from Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland's quite small. I'm sure they all know each other.
Some person listening who actually knows about football will probably better tell what team they play for and stuff.
I reckon so.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with the Scottish theme. Alex McLeish.
No way.
Man. I reckon he can hand out a beating.
A bit podgy.
Well, yeah, not a chance.
Bit soft
I think he could. He'd be more like a ganglordy type.
That's what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
He was a decent, strong centre-half, so possibly.
I think he'd be formidable in the fight.
So it's interesting that no-one's gone for Allardyce, because he's surely
he's
quite
just
tasty.
He'd be out of breath.
You'd have the sort of accidental stamina on his side, where it just takes ages
to
wear him down.
Do you know
probably
what?
Can't feel anything.
He's like butterbean.
Oi, but one good hit and you're gone.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say McLeish. Mark Hughes.
Yeah. Good shout.
Oh, Hughesy, definitely.
It's quite a hard
you in the
league,
belly.
Isn't it?
Yeah. He'd volley you. He would volley you. Yeah. It's a hard league.
It is.
Honourable mentions for Carlo Ancelotti. He's quite rotund. I reckon he'd be quite tough. he's part of his trade in Serie A. Come on.
I think he'd be sick if you punched him.
Yeah.
Like, he'd cough up a chicken or two.
Yeah, well, if we're talking about the ganglord theme, then surely...
I think
if we're going to stereotype an Italian,
Little Zola, you mean? Yeah.
Would you like to see like a wrestling style Royal Rumble?
Well, I'd love to.
Of course.
I tell you what, all Premier League men and their assistants in like a tag team Rumble.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing. So it'd be Zola and Steve Clark. That'd be dark horses.
I mean, Zola might be like one of those sort of real dark horses, those little blokes like you get in like kung fu films.
Yeah,
where you don't expect much, but look what he's doing.
I tell you, Ferguson would have his attack dog, Phelan. old feeling when we get a kick and he's kicking off.
He's a tack dog. Yeah. But Ferguson, he might go back to the old days when he used to play all arms and elbows.
Mm. Yeah, the Scottish lads would band together.
Yeah.
McLeish, Coyle, Moyes, Ferguson.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a Survivor series.
Roy Hodgson would just be standing in the background just shaking his head.
No,
what has it come to?
It's a real shame. It's a real
Roy would get someone else to do the job for him.
It'd be nice to see Harry Redknapp get a kick in, actually, wouldn't it?
Come on.
Yeah, well, I came for a trench for it, didn't I? Got me kicked in.
I'm only joking. But
I'm going to give the points to Pete Donaldson.
Oh.
I think it's Phil Brown.
He's barely said a thing. That's how good he is. It's an economy of effort.
He knew.
Yeah, absolutely.
He knew.
It's quality, not quantity.
Absolutely. The transfer deadline day has passed, and
what a letdown that was.
And Andy Burton's been on our television screens again.
Yeah. I miss that fella.
Hope you all washed your screens. I certainly have. Yeah.
Hope you all retrieved your television sets from the garden. After you chucked them out the window.
This is me officially opening the floodgates on Burton now.
I mean, I'm not going to cane Burton. I do want to say something.
Yes,
about
you are.
Well, maybe in a bit. But I just want to say something about transfer deadline day. You know it's got bad. You know it's a boring deadline day when Sky Sports News flipped to starting reporting what's not happening.
Yeah. League Two.
Yeah. But one of them was Martin Petrov's not going to Spurs. Yeah. All right, that's not really news, is it? You know,
Cantona not coming out of retirement.
Life not found on Mars. No, well, that's not news. Yeah,
no.
To report on what's actually happening. And my other highlight was when David James was just arriving in and out
class
of the training ground just to wind up the report.
That's amazing.
But they kept getting confused at that because they kept saying, "Oh, we think something's happening with David James, is he?" Because he was going in and out, as you're saying.
Saying,
what do you know about transfers?
I don't think it's ever been so obvious that, like, the reporters have a very, very vague idea of what's actually going on. They're this voice of authority, but purely because of the medium they're in. And it's quite a thin veil, as anyone who listens to this podcast will know.
There was a great bit of Burton just really sort of rabbit in the headlights sort of thing, where he was going, well, we can't report on things that aren't happening. Come on. It's not our fault, is it? It's not our fault.
And then he said, I've been told that Ben Jarney's on his way to West Ham. You just made that up.
Yeah.
You've just put a player who thinks he possibly may be moving and just picked a team.
But he really got found out, Andy Burton, as if he needed to. Because at the one point you could hear him tapping away at a computer. You just thought, you're just looking at forums.
Oh, yeah.
And internet
rumor sites, yeah.
Of course he was.
Because at one stage also, there was another highlight, which was Jim White said, and I can't remember the reporter's name, has moved from the Pompey training ground to Fratton Park. Any particular reason for that? And the guy just sort of went, no, not really. And then he went, it's a bit...
Just following David James.
It's a bit sunnier over here, he said. That's what he said.
That's quality, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Burton just looked... Oh, he kept saying, well, they're not answering our calls and all this. Why should they?
They hate you.
Yeah,
it's like
we
football.
We all do.
It's like football has come together purely to just mess up Sky Sports' deadline day.
Yeah. I hope that's the case. Because at one stage he goes, and the whole chairman, he's normally very good to me. He normally answers the phone. Like a plea to answer the phone. You know?
As if all the football clubs in the land are watching Sky Sports News.
They're doing other stuff.
I Facebooked him as well. He's not getting back to me. I bet his phone's probably broken. He might be trying to ring someone else.
But it was a boring transfer deadline.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, do you think that was because it was moved to 5 p.m. and it wasn't midnight like usual?
Well, I think. I think that's got.
Well, I don't know. If anything, surely that should have made it more frenetic.
Yeah,
there's more to cram in, you know.
Yeah, you probably got. But there's no countdown to sort of midnight and big. Well, they did show Big Ben, but
they
big
did
Ben's
show
sort of
Big Ben, didn't they?
Pointless.
Well, they sort of, like, a lot of the deals that Andy Burton, he sort of was hoisted by his own petard, certainly, because he sort of said, he was sort of saying that a lot of the transfers didn't go through until an hour and a half after the transfer deadline.
Yeah.
Sort of saying, we shouldn't be here, you know what I mean? There's no point in us being here.
No, there was literally no point in being there. I think we could all agree on that.
Mm.
But there were some all right sort of transfers that went through, like the Cranky
Iwan.
And...
Well, I'd like to say right now, for everybody's sake, that on the last show, I dropped a clanger.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I did.
And it was our fault for not pulling you up on it. I think if I was here, the overall standard of the quality had dipped.
I think... No, I certainly put the blame solely yours and Pete's feet. Because I kept saying David Dunn's going to Villa. He's not. I often refer to Richard Dunn as David Dunn.
This is what his mates call
as
him.
Richard and I know. That's the kind of little thing
going on. It's a pedantry to be upheld, boys.
Yeah.
I think I can say with some confidence that that mistake was the most emailed in on topic ever had. So what have you got to say for yourself?
I've got to say that the David Dunn deal didn't happen, so they've got Richard Dunn.
But apology accepted.
I think
that was people, Burton-esque.
Somebody pointed out to me during the week that I got one of the Amiobi brothers mixed up. Tommy Amiobi with Sammy Amiobi. Tommy Amiobi doesn't actually have a club anymore, so it's Sammy Amiobi that scored two goals for Newcastle.
Was it Sammy Amiobi?
Yeah. It was Sammy Amiobi.
Has anyone else got a headache?
Yeah. Well, anyway, on to the transfers. Richard Dunn did go to Villa, has gone to Villa for £6 million. I think that's a decent deal for Villa. He's 29, is Richard Dunn.
So, a great deal for Richard Dunn as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I'm not sure if I rate him that highly, to be honest.
So he looked absolutely solid before last season, but he did seem a little bit out of his depth, weirdly.
He's a bit slow.
Yeah, a bit clumsy. He's sort of like a kind of less good Jamie Carragher.
He's one of those players that guarantees you a couple of howlers a season. So
I know what you mean, but I think he'll probably start for Villa. But if not, then he's great cover.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know.
But I don't think he would have agreed to go with it, because I mean, Pompey tried to get Shorey, didn't they? Villa, but for some reason, right? This is what I heard, and it may be wrong. Pompey tried to get Nicky Shorey from Villa. Yeah, we've got no players. Yeah. And then Paul Hutt wouldn't guarantee him first team football, so he's like, "Well, I'm not going to lose it."
That's absolutely ridiculous. But it's just, Villa also got they didn't get him on the last day they got him before, but Stephen Warnock, so they bolstered the squad there.
Yeah.
And James Collins from West Ham for £5 million. So they've certainly
and they got rid of Zach Knight.
Rid of Zach Knight, but the defence is a little bit more. I know, beefed up.
Yeah, I like Villa's signings.
They needed
Dowling.
Those players. They needed solidity.
I thought probably or potentially the best deal was actually Everton getting Johnny Huitinger.
Yeah, that's a good deal. Very, very good deal. He's only 25. He seems to have been around forever.
He's 47. Caps. I think it's 47 Dutch caps.
Caps, yeah.
He's a good player.
He went to Atletico for quite a lot of money.
It was five or six million, I think Everton got him for.
Oh, right, he went to Atletico for like £10 million, I think.
Yeah. But I think that's great.
He's versatile as well.
That's right. I think that's great business from Everton. I mean, there they are selling Lescott for umpteen million.
I mean, with Distan as well. That's
yeah,
good business. What do you think about Cranshaw going, Luke? Oh, do you think it's a good signing for Tottenham?
He's worth more than £2.5 million.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? I mean lost Distan wanted to go. There's nothing you can do about that. The problem is, I mean, without getting into it, boring everyone to death with Pompey stuff again, is that Al-Fahim has said, "Oh, we don't need to lose anyone." Well, you do. Just stop lying. You do. You obviously do, because these players are all going. The first thing you think that he would do when he took over the club, if the money's there, which I don't know if it is or not, is tie people like Distan and Crank up on contracts and say, assure them and say that we're going to sign players. We're going to do okay. You're part of our plans. I mean, Pompey turned down £15 million for Nico Crank last summer.
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit of forward planning would be ideal. If you're going to turn down £15 million for Cranker last summer,
sign him up.
Okay, either sign him on sign him on a long term deal or sell him. £2.5 million for my money, probably the second best player in Croatia, is scandalous.
It's Redknapp's absolutely loving it as well, which must be a real deal there as well for you.
Of course, I mean
Redknapp was trying to sign everybody, of course, in the last.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think Pompey did get some decent deals in the last few days.
They actually didn't. They had no choice.
But they have this sort of a quite kind of resilient set
of
signings.
It's very workman.
It's going to be a sort of journeyman season. Well,
the Nuge is gone.
The Nuge has gone. Yeah,
David Nugent's gone. You're going to have to change the name of your fantasy team.
He's
gone for 6 month loan, but that's with a view to signing on. Burnley.
Lump on him scoring a hat trick against Pompey. The man can't score. I love Nugent. He's one of my favourite players. He works so hard. He just needs a bit of confidence.
But I think Ben Haim's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great
signing. I think you've got to be happy.
Jamie O'Hara's a pretty good signing on loan as well.
Yeah, I think Ben Haim's a bit too slow for my taste.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean Ben Haim is better than we've
he's
already
an established got. Premiership centre back.
Yeah, it just doesn't excite me that much, that's all.
Well,
I mean, the problem is, who have Pompey got?
Who are they going to sign that's going to excite you?
Ricky Kaká.
There you go. brother of Kaká.
He's the only person who can replace a Nuge.
One of three, I'd say. Michael Turner's gone from Hull to Sunderland. £6 million. That seems to be quite a popular figure. They're in the five and £6 million mark. But Phil Brown, incidentally, we talked about David Moyes before, trying to keep hold of a player. I think trying to keep hold of a player where it looked as though his head was at another club. Now, yeah. I know that because that was Manchester City, we talked about that, that was probably the reason why, and he was trying to make a point or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But Phil Brown said, you know, once a player makes reference to wanting to leave, and you have to listen when the player's heart is elsewhere, he said. And clearly, you know, Michael Turner's probably, he was already at Sunderland in his mind.
Well, yeah.
So Phil Brown's gone, well...
The thing is, I don't know whether he was spoiling for a move to Liverpool, which it was sort of looked like it was going to happen. Then it turned out Liverpool couldn't afford him, and then all of a sudden it was like in Hull's head, oh, Michael Turner wants to leave, and now he's ended up at Sunderland.
Well.
I don't know if anyone's head is truly at Sunderland by choice.
Yeah,
you know,
Darren Bent was.
It was actually, yeah.
So there you go.
I think we've seen this with Eto'o. Alonso, Gareth Barry as well. These players that sort of the season before last, they're sort of spoiling.
Alonso said that.
Well, yeah, but they're spoiling for a move, aren't they? And it looks like, you know, they're going to get that move. And it's a big decision to move clubs. It must be, because it's your whole life uprooting it, taking it somewhere else. And a season is long enough to get your head around that and prepare for that. So I think that's why we're seeing a glut of this at the moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, Alonso said that, you know, it was the summer they tried to sell him.
Well, as we
last summer,
really,
as we all suspected, yeah.
I think James is right. I mean, Sutherland are building an all right team, you know. They got a good chance finishing the top half of the season for me.
Shit shops, though. So.
Oh, apparently so, yeah.
Last weekend's football action, I was particularly impressed with the way Arsene Wenger handled himself.
He seems to have won a lot of sort of grace from that, hasn't he?
I thought it was brilliant. The way he just kind of, he just got up there and stood in front of the fans, arms wide open, as if to say to the referee, but just the way he stood in front of the fans, it was just to say, look, you can say what you want, you can throw it, I really don't care. I'm really not interested in anything you lot have got to say.
It's a great picture, isn't it? Just him commanding, Jesus.
Sort of half the United fans were obviously just sort of giving him wanker waves and stuff like that, but half of them genuinely seemed quite impressed by it. It was
weird.
I didn't see it, so unfortunately I can't comment.
Oh, Luke. It was wonderful.
I saw the Diaby own goal, though.
Apparently, Diaby since admitted that Almunia called for that and just said leave it.
But so that makes it even his own goal.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, why would you then?
Why would you then
head it into your own goal?
With no one around him either.
It's just mental. It wasn't a silly game to lose.
Why didn't the goalkeeper save it? That's what I don't understand. It was very close to him, I think.
Yeah.
There was no reactions
there. You weren't expecting it, was he? Either?
I know, but if the ball's coming, you're a goalkeeper. You don't expect a lot of stuff to happen.
It was.
That's kind of your job, innit? Expect. Yeah.
I think that's maybe a problem with Almunia, that he doesn't really make kind of outstanding saves. He makes the saves you'd expect him to make, and sort of anything where sort of you've got to go above and beyond. Plus, like you see keepers like Cech do. He doesn't really do that.
Well, didn't Ben Foster made a good save, didn't he?
Great save. I mean, that really would have turned the game.
Arsenal should have won that game.
Oh, they should have done.
Down,
not even drawn. They should have won it.
Yeah.
And I think that Wenger was so frustrated, though. But it was two incidents that Almunia should never have given away that penalty, and it was a penalty. I'm sure.
No,
Rooney might have been on his way. It was a pen, as far as I'm concerned.
But there's drawing a foul and there's diving.
Yeah, but he never dived.
No, that's what I mean. I think it's a legitimate penalty, I must say, but if anything, it's that he drew that.
But Almunia's going to recklessly come out.
But that's what I'm saying. Almunia should never have come out. And then the own goal, apart from that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it led to Arshavin scoring anyway, but there was that was a blatant penalty.
Yeah, that was. What a pinger, though, from Arshavin.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolute beauty.
I enjoyed Berbatov's miss. Did you see that?
Oh,
that
was great news.
He's turned to dog shit, don't
he? He really has. So I was thinking we might see a lot more from Berbatov this season, that he might step up. I mean, obviously it's very early days to be sort of judging him yet.
When he was at Tottenham and he went to United, I was thinking, oh, you know, is he just a big fish in a small pond? How will he get on up there? He's got a lot of people around him who are probably going to get a lot more headlines than he is. But it's either his head or his heart's not in it. He's one of those players, like we said before, if he's not playing well, he looks like he's not even trying.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's the case or not, but he's definitely got that feel about him. He sort of doesn't bother tracking back, his socks are down, his shirt's out.
There's no sort of fighting from the front to maintain possession. I think Berbatov actually came out recently in the papers and said he's amazed by some of the skill the players have at United.
Yeah,
it's the sort of thing he wouldn't even attempt. It's oddly frank
just try.
From a player. Yeah. Have a go.
That's not the attitude, is it? I mean, someone are running there doing, I couldn't even bother trying to do that.
I hate running.
Yeah.
I know, it's a funny one at Berbatov, but a performance I enjoyed from another striker was Peter Crouch coming on, changing the game for Spurs. He's getting right up there with the old headers.
He has got a good touch for a big man. It is good for Spurs for them to have a plan B.
He is good.
I couldn't agree more,
Jamie. Cheers, Jamie. he's also should be England's captain because he's the tallest and he can see most of the field.
That's very true. And it's an incredibly valid point. But it is funny. Crouch must get pissed off with people going, oh, he's a great plan B. I mean, he can be plan A as well, but he's a great plan B. He's like, well...
He's a player.
It's valid, though.
He's certainly learned how to head the ball, I think, everyone's been screaming out for him to do.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I think that if you look at Tottenham's second 11, right, it's better than Liverpool's.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's interesting that Tottenham have had this flying start, because what's held them back most of the time it's been having a really ridiculous start to the season. It'd be interesting to see if they can maintain it. It's going to be really, really tight this year. They might yet Spurs it up. We don't know.
We've had loads of emails saying that why do we hate Tottenham so much and why do we hate Liverpool so much? We don't really.
No, we don't hate
them. I don't know if I'm massively having a go at Tottenham all the time. Or not, people seem to think I am.
Well, I think you have a go at Harry Redknapp a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Spurs have got a good chance of doing so this season. I said that before. You know, I think they've got a good... Redknapp's put a good... He's added to an already good squad who are massively underachieving.
This is the thing, what makes the difference. They have genuinely, more than ever, because of this start, got the chance of fulfilling the ambition. I think they've been crippled by their own ambition a lot of time because they've had these slow starts. It means they're playing catch up to like themselves, essentially.
Don't forget,
and they don't have it at the moment.
I think it'd be great to see an English manager finish in the top four if they can do that.
But they're not in Europe this season either.
No.
And nor Man City. So, I mean, feasibly, I mean, I think there's probably only realistically one top four berth up for grabs. I think United, Arsenal and Chelsea will all finish in the top four. The risk of incurring further wrath of loads of Liverpool fans, I think Liverpool have got a chance of dropping out of that top four.
Really?
At the expense of Man City or Tottenham. That's just my opinion. But what would be really, really good, I was chatting about this to a friend earlier, that imagine if Man City and Tottenham both broke into that top four.
Yeah.
That'd just mix it up.
It's not impossible, is it?
No, I don't think it is. It'd be amazing. I mean, Liverpool will inevitably become good to start putting some results together, no doubt. Yeah. They may have already started doing that with the win they had last week. But it's interesting to see. I'll tell you now, if you take a pen out and you jot down the second 11 for Liverpool and the second 11 for Spurs, you take the Spurs one every day of the week. Mm.
You would do. But if Spurs and or City finished in the top four, I think that they wouldn't be as strong in the Champions League.
I think Spurs would never see go out in the qualifying round.
Yeah, I think...
Let me just be funny. It'd be typical Tottenham.
Well, Alex Ferguson has said that he expects the Champions League to be dominated by Premiership sides again this year. I'm surprised he said that. You look at that Madrid side, what they've put together. Well, Barcelona, obviously.
Maybe he's getting his mind games into them early, just in case he draws it.
Incredibly early.
It's pan-European mind games. He's spread out his radiant.
It's thrown out some really, really interesting ties, though, the Champions League group stages.
It inevitably does.
Well, United have got to go to Turkey, and they've got to go to Moscow before sort of important games as well, haven't they?
Arsenal have got to prefer...
Into Barcelona. That's going to be a great tie.
Arsenal have got, in Champions League terms, a nice group as they tend to.
They always do, but it's because they sort of qualify regularly, so that ups your season.
True.
Yeah, you do
12
get
years in
them,
a row now.
I mean, all English teams, were top seeds, weren't they? All four of them were.
Do you remember Chelsea kept getting really hard groups because they hadn't been there so long? It's now come around to the point where they're quite nicely seeded.
You're correct, definitely.
Yeah, very true. But Eduardo's obviously been banned for two games. I think UEFA have set themselves up there.
Yeah, they've set a dangerous precedent.
They have.
Because they have to maintain it. I think it's the right thing to do, but they now need to keep doing it.
It's interesting.
And then maybe it will stop it happening. Because it was a dive. It was a disgraceful dive. Yeah. I like Eduardo a lot, and he's always seemed an honest player before, so that's very disappointing to see that.
But I
do think that it's odd that they've taken this particular stance. Maybe it's because it's in Europe and it was a really high-profile game, but they've got to keep it going, because things like this, I think they should be punished. I think maybe Didier Drogba will effectively be banned for life retrospectively now, but
one can always live in hope. But I think, honestly, Celtic, the way they go on, as if they're one of the big European powerhouses, they've really, really pushed that massively. And I think if it was any other club, I don't think they would have happened.
I think it's a little bit negligent to say that Celtic aren't a big club.
No, they are, but the way they carry on, they think they're one of the European powerhouses.
They seem to have got this done very quickly.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Scottish people in positions of influence in UEFA. So that's
alright, Hugh Grant.
It's alright, I couldn't speak to him. I'm not the working man's Hugh Grant.
Well, I love you. They used to be there. I mean, I don't know if they still are.
Pete's handsome face was putting me off. The thing is,
don't call me Pete.
I would just add to what Jimbo was saying that it probably is the right decision on paper, but it has come from under a lot of media pressure. I mean, you can't move when you're watching a footy game for some pundit to say, without some pundit saying, oh, it's got to be banned people respectfully for diving. Yeah. It happens all the time. But I think there's a larger point there, which is, whilst you say that they need to stick to it, I don't know if they can.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's actually possible to stick to it.
Well, it's an interesting thing because obviously they don't... It's in a way, it's kind of the use of video technology, isn't it? Because they're going on that evidence after the game. The referee didn't deal with it during the game. So surely, by UEFA's own rules, this punishment doesn't make sense. I can understand why Arsenal would be aggrieved on sort of the technicality of that.
Well, he's been banned for more. Sorry, go on, mate.
But I was just going to say that it's such a grey area, is this? Because if you use the video technology, some people think, well, he's gone down there. Some people haven't. You know, some people are even saying that Rooney, the one against Arsenal, shouldn't have been.
Yeah, but that was contact.
But you see what I mean, though? You start using the video replays. But someone said a possible solution. I don't know where.
Oh, there's this theory, I don't know what
you're
saying.
No, go on,
there's this theory doing the round.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I haven't thought about it an awful lot. I mean, I maybe set myself up for a massive fall here. But I've read this on a couple of different media outlets, which says, if a player goes down the penalty area and the referee's not sure or not, he pulls the player up and he says, "Was that a foul or did you dive?" And if the player says, "Oh, I dived," be creative about it. The momentum took me over, or I've got an inner ear infection, so I lost my balance, or whatever. Then the referee can say, "Right, don't do that again. Yellow card, free kick to the other side." If he says no, it was a foul, the penalty is awarded.
But not even a yellow card, though. Maybe.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, free kick to the other team then.
Yeah.
But if he says no, it was definitely a free kick or a penalty or it was a foul, for example.
Yeah.
Then the referee gives the penalty, and then it gets looked at, and there's a potential for him to be banned for a long time or whatever. The only problem I can see with it is that it could, for example, you've got the last game of the season, the player does it, he lies, gets a penalty, they win the league, and then he gets banned for 5 games, but it doesn't make any difference. Do you know what I mean?
But there's also sort of the area where players draw fouls. And they sort of, you know, they get someone else to foul them, essentially, with sort of nimble footwork. And that's equally...
The thing that annoys me about diving is that people say all the time in this country, oh, it's the worst thing in modern game. It's the scourge of the modern game. And a player will dive one game, and the next day he'll get booed for diving, right? But then, having said that, I was there when Ben Thatcher knocked out Pedro Mendy. Literally knocked him out. Yeah. He wasn't booed the next game.
No.
Now, is that not worse than diving?
Well, of course it is.
Of course.
So I think it could have ended the man's career.
Controversially, I'm very close to saying, personally, that look, it's part of the game. Argentina, Brazil, Spain, Italy, all these countries do it. Get on with it. It's harder for the referees, but just get on with it. And if anything goes, the referees just got to be on their game. Because there's no perfect solution to it.
Well, you're never going to stamp it out because it's a thing you can do. Do you know what I mean? And people will always try it.
I mean, whatever sanctions they got to put in, I mean, it would be akin to changing the offside rule. It's going to be massive. You've got to do it from the Premier League to Serie C. You've got to do it from the very top to the very bottom of football. And how... You know, I don't know what the infrastructure is like in the fourth tier of Spanish football, but I just don't think they'd be able to do it.
Mm. No, you're right. And also, not only that, I mean, if it's got to be replicated in parks football as well. Like, Saturday, they haven't got video evidence, have they? So they can't check it. And it's hard, and the referees maybe aren't as good. And obviously, the players are probably a little bit more cheeky. So it's not easy. I just think you've got to say, right, it's part of the game. If you do it, then you'll get a reputation for doing it, and you'll get booked if you get caught. It's the same as fouling, really. You can't stop fouling. Because sometimes people foul, you know? It's just the way it goes. Mm. And you're going to get on the end of some bad decisions and sometimes you're going to get it going your way. But that's what football is all about, effectively, isn't it?
La Liga and Serie A are underway. Inter beat Milan 4-0.
Incredible.
Good game.
And Gattuso was sent off in that game. But he seemed to blame the Milan bench for that.
Yeah.
Did anybody see that?
I've heard about this.
I saw the highlights, or if you can call it a highlight. Seydorf wasn't ready to come on, was he?
Well, he was sitting there in his flip-flops, wasn't he?
his excuse for having a shirt on was, it was really hot.
It's all right.
You live in Milan, and you have done for some time. Surely you're used to this.
Yeah. But I think Gattuso now, if I'm right, saying he picked up an injury.
Well, he looked like he was going to carry on, and then it seemed
he'd evident, been booked.
It seemed evident that he couldn't carry on, so he's going to come off. He knew he was coming off. I mean, the fact that Seydorf didn't come on quite so quickly doesn't mean he then has to get another booking.
Well, I think in case anybody didn't see it, Gattuso had already been booked, and this is in the first half, I think.
Yeah,
it was in the first half. He'd already been booked. He looked as though he was injured, so they said, "Right, you're coming off," kind of thing. He said, "Yep, fine." He signalled to the bench. And then the Seydorf wasn't ready to come on. So they said, hang on a couple of minutes there. Just, you know, don't get sent off short time that he will put his shirt on and his boots on. And Gattuso just goes, boom, reckless, and he gets himself sent off. And as he walks off the pitch, he's moaning at the bench, "You should have taken me off."
I hope he was just gesticulating wildly in the Italian style.
I don't think the phrase "jockey your man" is in Gattuso's
life.
So it's almost like he wasn't only remonstrating, he was almost sort of like, "Well, what do you expect?"
Yeah. I am Gattuso.
Yeah. I'm a wild man.
I like this one in Scotland.
Seems mental that he was ever even there, doesn't
it? Yeah.
I know.
Inter played excellently, though. Really did.
They've made some good signings, Inter.
Again, it's almost like Inter are really good. You know, they're probably going to got a good chance of winning the Liga again. Is it they're going to be this season? They'll do something in the Champions League? No.
Yeah, sure.
Probably not. No.
Sure.
Well, I don't think so. No.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see.
The real pedigree with Eti there. I mean, he's a game-changing player.
Where's Snyder?
Snyder as well. Suppose so. Yeah.
You suppose so now.
Well, we'll see. Won't
changing
you?
Your tune now.
I'm rarely wrong.
Did you?
Because you cover all bases.
Yeah.
The news is still your god. Sorry, Pete.
Did anyone see the Roma Juve match? The Roma goal, De Rossi. Incredible.
Beauty, was it?
Really quick free kick. And he just leathered it.
Did it literally explode
off his foot? Yeah, brilliant. Check it out, YouTube.
Ranieri's taking charge of Roma now.
Yeah.
Because they lost again, didn't they?
Yeah.
Diego's playing well for Juve, man.
He's a good player.
Ranieri's gone to Roma. Didn't you see Spalletti gave up his wages?
Really?
Yeah. He said, "That's all right, I'll defer my money." He's a good bloke, Luciano Spalletti.
Yeah, good man. Ibrahimovic scored for Barcelona.
He's not fully fit, though, is he?
No, he broke his hand in pre-season, didn't he?
Did he? Funny one.
Yeah. Use your feet.
Yeah. shouldn't go in goal. And Real won 3-2 with a former Portsmouth player getting the winner.
Portsmouth Hall of Famer, Lissandro.
Yeah.
The man who won the FA Cup for Pompey pretty much on his own.
Most successful Dolphin footballer of all time.
he looks like.
He does, yeah.
I'd say a porpoise, if you don't mind. He's more of a rounded head.
Well, I do mind. Okay, I'm going to go with James as well.
Okay, fair enough. I was just winding you up on porpoise.
Hey!
No high five. No
goodbye.
High five.
Good.
No.
Well, we've had it.
Too late. Can't take it back.
No.
That's safe.
And wouldn't take it back. Bayern wouldn't give Robin back either.
No.
Because he's had a good start there.
Robin and Ribery, that is some pairing they've got there.
And Gomez
Rib
as well.
Rib Rob.
Or Rob Rib.
Didn't Robin only fly in the day before or something? He scored two, didn't he?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Why not?
Because Van Gaal was... it's a good result for him because obviously Wolfsburg are reigning champions as well. Mm.
He's moved him up a little bit further up the field, hasn't he? He's playing as a number 10, sort of like behind the two strikers.
I think that's fair, don't you?
Where are you?
Such incredible ball control, Robin.
Yeah.
Just superb.
Yeah.
I really hope he can just put a run together where he's not injured every couple of months.
I tell you what, apparently there was reports that Bayern turned down €80 million for Ribery.
I mean...
They really want him. But he's not worth that much, no way.
You reckon?
Ribery?
He is absolutely superb. He is one of the best players in the world.
I think he's top five in the world for me.
You reckon?
He's a game-changing player.
I think not. €80 million.
I mean, he's probably...
Euros.
Euros.
He's just beyond the Nuge in the top five in the world. Just beyond the White Etta.
Let it go. And let him go.
He'll be a massive player.
He's gone. Who's got the first one? James, you.
I do. That sounded like Heaven's Walrus. That was
well put. Yes.
But it was the Rambles Walrus, incidentally.
Yeah, indeed. Right, okay. So
or Luke, as he's known.
Stop it.
The first one from Chris Leach from Portsmouth. Hiya, Ramble. This is all of us.
Love the
show. It kept me sane during a long, tedious 2 weeks in Cyprus. All right for some, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bit of a feel-good story here, lads. I was looking around your website the other day and I saw the link to the Moritz Vols website and it brought back fond memories. Although the man is truly off his head, being the only German man I've heard about with a legitimate sense of humour and opinions I actually agree with.
That's harsh.
He can take some credit to both me and my mate passing a GCSE this year.
Ooh.
Searching aimlessly around German Wikipedia for revision material, we came across Moritz Vols' page. Looking back on it, really, it seems a pretty stupid and juvenile game to play in a German exam, but my mate and I bet each other £10 every phrase we could use off the Volsi's German phrasebook section in our oral test, and the highest grade would take the money.
Rich students? £10 a phrase?
£10. The priceless look on the examiner's face when my answer to say you have a problem was the German equivalent of my lederhosen are a little itchy, and was equally priceless when the answer to ask for directions was the German for where is the pool, I'd like to put my towel down. I managed to pass at a B, probably the coursework on bloody Kevin Keegan let me down. Should have baked a cake to focus my mind. I don't know what that means.
No, me either, but good.
Alfida saying pet, and that, again, that's from Chris, so thank you, Chris.
Well done, Chris.
Congratulations on passing your GCSE.
Don't thank us, thank Volsi.
Fantastic.
Thanks very much. Dan Cashun. Peter.
This is from a young man known to many as Chris McHugh. He says, attention Ramble crew, as we grow to love the podcast more and more each week, like a dog found in the street and took in our homes, it would be nice to know a little bit more about our favourite podcasters. I presume he means us.
Me.
Lot. So which player were you in the playground at school? Obviously Lukey was Matthew Letizia, but what about you?
Easy.
Cheap, that's a cheap gag.
Probably the Nuge even then, I'm going to say.
Yeah, even though he wasn't born. apart from the obvious ones, like your Linekers and your Paul Gascoigne, yeah. I was, a lot of the time, I was Darren Anderson. I know he went to Spurs. That's three Spurs players, actually, I've listed there. Mark Chamberlain was a favourite. It had to be an attacking player, usually, didn't it? Yeah. Walsh was massive.
I was Paul Rideout because Everton was Everton. For some reason, we all chose Everton.
Yeah, I was saying he's an Everton legend. Yeah. Marcus?
I used to get called Marco Negri for my haircut and goal scoring ability for the first half of the season.
That's a bit later on, though, surely. Not when you were a kid.
Early teens. Okay. When I was a kid, John Barnes?
Yeah.
Ali McCoist?
Yeah.
Any of the above.
Ian Wright, Dennis Bergkamp were big ones for me. I used to really like Andrej Kanchelskis as well.
Yeah.
He was a likeable chap.
He was. Great player as well.
Hope that answers your question, Chris. If I remember rightly, Chris McHugh was the first email to coin the Ramble Force. Ho!
Was he?
So he gets big props for that.
Congrats to you.
Shall we give him a ho?
Well, he was saying that he was, personally, he was either Paul Gascoigne or Lee Sharp. Despite being a City fan, I had a soft spot for Sharpie. Don't tell me Dad, though. I think he actually listened, so I'd also like to say, sorry, Dad.
Oh, well done.
Taking over the bloody show.
Well done, indeed. I've got an email here from Guy P. He says, dear Ramble, people look at Shola Amiobi and say he is rubbish. They do.
Yes, we do.
But it has all been an elaborate ploy. Shola Amiobi has hit superb form just in time for World Cup year. That is all. Enjoy the show, Guy P.
I'm sure if Newcastle had stayed up, this form would still be continuing.
Oh, yeah. Pete, what have you got to say on that?
Well, he's injured for the next 4 weeks, so something we've got... We've got Niall Ranger up front now.
Guthrie, what a goal he scored. Yeah, cracking. Not that he's up front, but...
I've got an email here, slightly more serious one, from Simon Hood, who has decided, as a York City fan, to cycle to every home and away league game this season in aid of the Alzheimer's Society. So far he's done about...
That's top work.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's good on absolutely
you.
He's superb.
He's done 1,000 miles already so far.
That is unbelievable.
He said the home games aren't too bad, but he's had 3 consecutive away games, which were York to Wrexham, and Wrexham to Hayes in North London, and Hayes to Gateshead.
Bloody hell.
Which is 800 miles in 12 days. But he said, to cut a long story short, everyone's been really nice to him. A highlight was meeting Sir Tom Finney, whose wife suffered Alzheimer's towards the end of her life. Okay. His bike broke down, but the company Ridgeback sent him a new one. And the results haven't been too bad. He's had 7 games so far, 1-3, drawn 2 and lost 2. Both defeats were unlucky, he says. But he's raised £1,100 for Alzheimer's so far. So if you want further details, get yourself over to bicyclekicks.com. Bicyclekicks.co.uk, I apologise. So well done, Simon.
That's absolutely super.
Keep us posted.
Yeah. I tell you what, on his travels, he might find himself in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
He can only hope.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's it for the emails. I think it's about time to give away a Chapman goodie bag.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to go off to our man on the bicycle.
Simon Hood. Absolutely.
Simon Hood, indeed.
And rightly so. Well done, sir.
Well done, indeed. Following up from another email, actually, we said last week that some of the listeners were going to be getting some Ramble Force Ho banners to take to some of the football matches. Yeah. And Joe from Oxfordshire sent us a picture with a couple of his mates. And they've got their Ramble Force Ho banner. Oh! And they're taking it to the next Arsenal home game.
Yeah, the next Arsenal home game is going to be... so they're going to get fight evidence of that. Well done to them. That's by nowhere near enough, though, so keep them coming in. we want to see as many as possible.
Yeah,
it'll just be
any
funny.
Sport.
Yeah. Let's widen it.
Yeah.
At any public event this time.
Yeah, definitely. Or if you're in the crowd...
Just on your own head.
A state funeral, for example.
If you're in the crowd for Trisha, get involved. Yeah. Not Kyle, we don't care about that.
No, Kyle, look at me.
I'll take Kyle, if you're listening.
Yeah. Okay. Be a man.
Funny stories. It is indeed the funny stories, James.
What sinister might be saying, James. Very sinister.
Don't ever talk over one of my links again.
Are they all going to have a horror theme?
Yeah, well, no, but we'll see. First one is about a player we all know and love. I'm going to call him Twarko Twatterazzi.
Oh,
probably working out who he really is.
Marco Materazzi.
Yeah. Inter centre-back Marco Materazzi, there he is, has sued Rai TV series Lee Espatore Coliandro, I believe you pronounced that,
well done.
After one of their characters allegedly poked fun at his propensity for earning red cards. He was sent off again and I lost, said a fantasy football enthusiast during an episode of the show. The 36-year-old World Cup winner deemed the line to be slanderous and has instructed his lawyers to initiate court action against the creators of the series, demanding €1 in compensation for every viewer who watched the episode. What are you doing?
He's got a track record for this. He had a pop at some newspapers, I mean, and rightly so, the tabloids in this country. Yeah. But he had a pop at them a few years
ago. Well, he sued them, didn't he? He's got form. He follows up what he says.
I hope someone headbutts him in the chest.
Oh.
Tell you what I did to his sister. Well, I can't tell you what I did to his sister.
James,
you're a big man behind the mic. Can you come over here?
Sound like the Matarazzi's
not here, is he?
So. I'm sure Marco Materazzi's been 36 years old for about 10 years.
Can we please pronounce the T's in his name?
Marco Materazzi.
Dear idea.
We're not going to do that now, you said it.
Oh, makes you sick, doesn't it, Peter?
Go on, Peter.
I don't think it matters.
Go on, Peter.
This is a story about Mr. Dimitar Berbatov. He's been threatened by a gangster for sending flirty texts to his lover, the gangster's lover.
Not to the gangster.
I was going
to
say, no wonder the gangster's pissed off.
Suicide.
The £30 million Manchester United striker allegedly made a series of great passes to model Nicoleta Lozanova, who was playmate of the year in his Bulgarian homeland in 2006. Her boyfriend, Georgie the Head Stolyov, a mobster with a reputation for extreme violence, was furious when told of suggestive messages. The gangster replied the text warning Berbatov to naff off, basically.
Yeah.
I just love how Stoyov became head of the clan, the gangster clan. His father, Stoyl Stolyov, and his minders were wiped out by a bomb in a lift in 2004. I mean, it would do that, wouldn't it? Putting a bomb in a lift.
That's the last place you want a bomb.
That's the last place you want a bomb.
That plan must have been executed perfectly.
But, Berbatov's been dating his girlfriend, Elena Shtilianov, on and off for over 3 months, and there is talk of pregnancy and marriage, presumably from her side, I imagine.
After 3 months is all a bit soon, don't you think?
So, actually, Berbatov does sometimes play like he's pregnant, so you never know.
It's probably true, actually.
So, friends of Berbatov dismiss this lady as being a bit of a fantasist.
It's always Berbatov. He's always doing stuff, isn't he? He's popped up quite a lot.
Berbatov was quoted as saying, "I've met her once, but nothing happened." And she was a former lover of Liverpool reserve goalkeeper Nikolai Mihailov. And they're calling her a fantasist. After Mihailov split from Nicoletta, he said she was like an old Eastern Bloc Trabant bone shaker car compared with his new Ferrari girlfriend. But the next day, his £170,000 Ferrari was attacked with acid.
I take it means that the car and not the new Ferrari girlfriend. That's absolutely sickening.
Oh,
it's literally like the days of our lives, that story. Okay, let's go to altogether less glamorous surroundings. But no disrespect to Stoke City.
I think you just have.
Peter Andre will serenade boxing legend Muhammad Ali at Stoke City Football Club lunch.
Let's take a moment and think about that sentence.
What's he done to deserve that, Muhammad Ali?
Insane.
He's already got Parkinson's disease. Give him a break.
Why is he at Stoke City?
Well, I'll tell you. The club said Andre will pay his own personal tribute to the greatest sportsman of the 20th century at his Britannia Stadium on Thursday.
I'd like to pay a tribute to Muhammad Ali. How the hell has Peter Andre set this up?
Well, it gets even more bizarre. The singer will perform hits, plural, including Behind Closed Doors, a song I've never heard of, I'm not ashamed to say, at the event to celebrate Ali's achievements. Andre had originally accepted an invitation to be a guest at their lunch, but organisers offered him the chance to sing for Ali as a part of the programme for the greatest lunch ever.
Ridiculous.
That cannot be factually the greatest lunch ever if Peter Andre's singing at it. It's a contradiction in turn. It's an oxymoron, and it should be stopped under the Data Protection Act.
I just don't know what to think.
By Data Protection Act, I mean the Trade Descriptions Act.
I thought you were deliberately talking nonsense.
No,
I enjoyed
right.
it.
I am usually. I just think, what sort of song is Peter...
Hang on. Muhammad Ali's going to Stoke City.
Yeah. It's hitting you hard, isn't it?
I find that hard enough to believe myself. But I could maybe get around that. Then you're talking about Peter Andre turning up and singing.
Yeah.
Right.
Marcus.
Then we get on to the hit. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he had Mysterious Girl, which I wasn't particularly a fan of because I'm, you know, a bit cooler than that.
Let's hope Muhammad Ali dishes out some hits of his own.
Hey!
Come on!
Oh, yes, indeed, it's pun time.
Stop the hiving.
Pete, I get a high five for that.
No.
Okay, let's withdraw it.
Very harsh.
Yeah, no, he is today.
I mean, let's just all hope that Ali's still got it in him to give Andre a couple of dicks.
Let's just hope it all doesn't happen.
Yeah.
For everybody's sake. Oh, it's profile time.
Don't cheapen it with a jingle. It's important, this bit.
It is profile time. And I was looking at the Dean Windass Hall of Fame entrance, and I thought, you know something? We're a bit short on goalkeepers.
We've only got one.
Important.
Mm. Mm. So, James, are you ready?
I'm ever ready.
Is it Alan Knight?
It's not. Oh. Not this week. And any other week.
He's been getting on me back.
May I... well, physically.
Obvious.
He'll do anything to get in here. Yeah. Said Lukey. Georgi... depending on where you're from, but Jorge Francis Campos Navarrete, otherwise known as Georgi Campos.
Oh, welcome,
come
sir.
In.
Pat Bonner.
All in good time, Peter. Yeah. All in good time. Born October the 15th, 1966. And that was 1 year before.
Well, about 8 months before.
About 8 months before the Summer of Love. But he competed in the sperm race.
1966 was a great year for football. George Campos was born.
He competed in the sperm race, James. And do you know where he finished?
Up his mum.
He only...
It was his future mum.
he only went and won it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Campos, here we go. He's the third most capped player in Mexican history. And obviously the most capped goalkeeper. Very famous for his outrageously colourful kits.
Yeah, but to the point where even like as a very young child, you'd look at those kits and think, am I having a stroke?
I remember having to draw a picture of him in art class. What? I didn't have to.
I was going
to
say.
I chose to draw a picture of Jorge Campos. And,
good decision.
I used a lot of Crayola.
I bet you did. It's one of those things that Jorge Campos's kits are... In your mind, they're terrible. When you actually see them again, they're even worse than you imagine.
But didn't he design them himself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he designed them himself.
Really baggy, short sleeves.
Yeah.
Just, like, horrific colours.
Yeah. But it was... You got to love a bit of colour like that, though, haven't you?
Oh, you do.
Yeah. Really lit up the 94 World Cup as well.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, he is obviously remembered for his colourful kits and all, but he was, as I say, the third most capped player in Mexico's history. You know, he was a decent player as well. Mm. But he didn't play football until organised football, shall I say, until his early teens. But he said, you know, since he was a kid, that he'd always been a goalkeeper and a forward.
Yeah.
But as a professional, he was mainly a goalkeeper. The first team he ever played for was organised by his father, and it was mainly compromised of family and close friends, and it was called Deportivo Campos.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Very good indeed. He also played a lot of other sports, and he was a keen surfer, and that is where he gets his inspiration for designing his own kits.
Makes sense.
Because he was a big surfer. And
surfers always design their own kits. So.
He said, my experiences in Acapulco, which is where he was born, with surfing influenced my choice of bright colours. So
cleared that one up.
There we are. So you can stop asking questions about that.
Also, I'm mental, he said.
Yeah. He added.
Absolutely. He was only 5'8".
Yes.
Which is short for a keeper.
I can't think of a smaller keeper than that.
No, but he was very acrobatic and he had incredible agility.
He loved the dive for the cameras, he did.
Oh, massively. Yes. Very quick as well. That all kind of made up for his lack of height. He started his career in 1988 with Pumas in Mexico, or Pumas as it might be called by the locals. and in his first season, one of his early seasons there, he scored 14 goals. Because he was sometimes sometimes he was deployed as a striker, and he had been in a couple of the clubs he's played for over his career. He was registered with the number 9 jersey.
He never played outside of America, of like that continent, did he?
No, he didn't play in Europe, if that's what you're asking. He played in the Mexican League, and he also played for the LA Galaxy and Chicago Fire. He scored, you know, 14 goals there for Pumas, and he wasn't far off top goal scorer.
It's not like a Shilabert thing where he takes free kicks and penalties. He actually did his play up front sometimes.
I think he did take, he might have taken a few free kicks when he was a keeper.
He'd play up front within games though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. And they won, in his, I think it was his second season at Pumas, they won the 1990-91 championship. When he was playing for another club, Atalante, after Pumas, he apparently scored a quite a notable bicycle kick, which is lived in the memory for those who saw that one. And in that game, he started off as a goalkeeper, but they were really lacking up front, and the coach said, "Oh, sod this, you're going up front," and he brought on another keeper.
How annoyed would you be if you were an actual striker on the bench, though?
Yeah.
It's like when Stuart Pearce put David James up front that time. Yeah. I'm sure they had strikers on the bench at the time.
Yeah. He'd had the kit made up for that, and he was always going to try
so
that.
Odd.
Ridiculous.
It's just odd.
Absolutely fantastic. But yeah, so international career, 130 caps for Mexico. He played for them from 91 to 2004.
Did he ever score for them?
No, he never scored for Mexico.
That's a shame.
He played most notably in the 94 and 98 World Cup. I think they're the ones that people remember him by, certainly.
Yeah.
He was in that Nike advert, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
In that Nike advert, I seem to remember the big sort of thing I noticed, that Nike advert. He didn't have a big bright kit on that.
No, yeah, it was a black kit.
Was it? Yeah.
They all had black kits.
Mm. When he played for Mexico, though, he played almost like a sweeper. Like Higuita did for Colombia.
Yeah.
Remember
that?
It's quite popular in some parts.
I think that's...
of Latin America.
In my opinion, that's a sign of a good keeper.
Well, I think it's just something that is actually... it should be done more often, actually, because if you can do that, it is quite effective. However,
Higuita sometimes did it with hilarious consequences.
Well, this is it. You can, but I think there are ways of picking that off. But so the defence play quite a high-pressure style, and Campos, kind of, he liked to roam around and he liked to touch the ball, so he quite enjoyed that. And after retiring from club and international football, he became assistant coach of the Mexican national team. And he also was a commentator for TV Azteca. He also owns a fast food franchise called Sportortas Campos, who specialise in tortas, and I think we should all check that out.
Yeah, love it, tortas.
Let's do it.
I don't know how we're going to do that. But, I didn't really think that through. And also, something else he likes to do is he gives his... celebrity status a nice polishing by raising environmental awareness for marine life. He's quite big on that. Being a surfer, you know, he's at one with the sea.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I can quote him by saying, "The best defence for the sea is you." Not you, Peter.
And coral.
And he also said that the sea is a part of everyone. And it's for us all.
He loves the sea.
Absolutely.
Is he actually...
I hope that's the most sensible quote you could find.
It's what he would have wanted, James.
in my head, he's like a little crab and a little mermaid. So. Like small, like quite punchy.
A lot of his stories are, and he does this, and he does this, and he does this. He won't stop doing stuff.
Yeah.
And specialise, will you?
And he's just got into the Dean Wenhouse Hall of Fame.
Oh,
come
goodness.
On in, Georgie.
Welcome, Georgie. Come
nice
on.
And quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you have enjoyed it. If you want to get in... I genuinely have.
That's funny the way you said it.
Thanks.
I hope you have it, Jordy.
Welcome to the Football Ramble, the musical.
Yeah, if you want to get in contact, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. So get your emails in if you want to be in for a shout of winning a Championship Manager goodie bag. And, of course, Championship Manager, the new game, is out on the 11th of September. And also, of course, our website is up and running, thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye, everybody.
Say goodbye, Pete. Sure. And say goodbye, Luke.
Bye.
We're all off to foul some Croatian podcasters. Cheers.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.